You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
He is risen. You know, the tradition in the church is that when I say he is risen, you respond by saying he is risen indeed. So can we try that again? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we went through a season of Lent in which we went through a process of examining the stuff in our hearts, the desert, the darkness, the sins, and you know, we're supposed to do that before Easter. And then we thought about what Jesus has done for us on the cross during Good Friday. And, you know, for me, by the time we got to Good Friday, I was hungry for something exciting. You know, I was hungry for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that now we get to celebrate that Jesus is risen. He is risen. Amen. My name is Kevin Ha. I'm the lead pastor of New City Church. If you're here for the very first time, I especially want to welcome you. And so before I get to the message about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to share a little bit more about who we are at New City Church, our vision, our mission, our core values. In other words, our dream is to be an inclusive, gospel-centered community of lovers of Jesus Christ who connect people to God, grow together, serve the city, and extend God's kingdom. This is who we are about. Our dream is to be an inclusive community where anyone could come, whether they're black, white, Asians, Latinos, whether they live in Skid Row or in a penthouse loft, whether they are a Democrat or a Republican, whether they're gay or straight, whether they're living a morally upright lifestyle or a morally loose one. We want this to be an inclusive community where anyone can come as they are. Our dream is to be a gospel-centered community where our primary mission is to declare and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not a community that's ultimately concerned about legislating family values or ethics or morals, but we are a community that's ultimately about how we have failed in our values, in our ethics, in our morals, and life, and how God rescued us from the mess we've created. We are a community of people who are more sinful than we think we are, but more loved by God through Jesus Christ than we can ever imagine. That we are a community of sinners living in God's amazing grace. That's who we are. Our dream is to be a lover of Jesus Christ that seek him for the pleasure of his company and not for what he can do for us or what we think we can do for him. Our dream is to connect residents in and around downtown LA and throughout the city of Los Angeles to God by connecting them to this church where they can find transformation and hope through a relationship with God. We want to create a church where we can bring our friends. We want our church to be a place where we become a place for people who don't go to church. Our dream is to grow together with one another in loving and honest community. We believe that the gospel transforms to change your life. We believe that the Spirit of God empowers us, and we believe that God leads us to these spiritual practices to actually put us in the place where God can transform us, and we believe all of these things happens in a context of community. And our dream is to serve the city of Los Angeles, not just by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but by living out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will, in partnership with others, serve the people in need. We will serve the lost. We will serve the forgotten. We will serve the hopeless. We will serve the city because God loves the city. And so we love the city. And our dream is to extend the kingdom of God by sending up missionaries to the cities. All of us are missionaries, and also missionaries to the ends of the earth. We're about church planting as well, planting churches all around the city and throughout the ends of the earth. That's our vision. That's our dream. We have a lot of things going on in our church that move towards this dream and vision. We're not quite there yet. This is our dream. It's where we hope to get to. But I want to invite you to join us. If you're, especially if you're new, especially if you haven't been here for a while, I want to invite you to join us and work to realize this dream. These are not something that we have only in writing and we don't really think about. This is the mission. This is the vision. This is the dream. These are the core values that drive us as church. So I hope you can join us. That's a little bit about who we are. Next week, we'll be starting a brand new sermon series on the Gospel of Luke entitled Gospel for Everyone. And so what we're going to do is we're going to trek through the entire Gospel of Luke, which is a biography of Jesus coming directly from those who witnessed the life of Jesus, his death and the resurrection. So I hope you can join us for this series. You know, I really truly believe that if you take the series seriously, it will transform your life. So today, let's go back to the passage for today. Today's passage comes from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. I'm going to read from the ESV today. Mark chapter 16, verse 1 through 8. So this is after the death of Jesus, after the burial of Jesus. He was crucified on Friday. And the way the Jewish people count is that Friday will be the first day, Saturday will be the second day, and Sunday will be the third day. Sundown Friday is the beginning of Sabbath, so they can't really do anything until sundown on Saturday. So it is on Sunday morning that this story takes place. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint him. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. We'll stop there. You know, I had the privilege of visiting Israel on pilgrimages a few times now. There's a picture that we took of a place called the Garden Tomb. It is not actually the place that Jesus was buried. It's not an actual tomb of Jesus, but it is a 2,000-year-old tomb. And the tomb that Jesus laid looks something like this. It's carved in a cave with a huge circular, there it is, right there. It's called a Garden Tomb. And they would actually have a huge circular stone blocking the entrance. You can't see the stone there. But here's another similar tomb that shows a stone that is rolled away. It's a huge stone. And that's why the women were worried. about who would roll away the stone. So Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, three women were walking towards the tomb. They prepare spices to anoint the body of Jesus. These are fragrances. It was their custom to do that in burial. It was a sign of respect. There was no time to do that on Friday because the Sabbath started on sundown on Friday, and the men were all hiding in fear. The brave men, the disciples of Jesus Christ, were all hiding in fear at this time. And these brave women woke up early and went to the tomb. And when they got there, they saw that the stone, which the Bible tells us is very large, had been rolled away. And the Bible says that they saw a young man who was dressed in white robe sitting on the right side. And they were scared. And the angel said, "Do not be alarmed. Do not fear. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place that they have laid him." Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question from this text. Why did God roll away the stone? Why did God roll away the stone? And you might be thinking to yourself and go, duh, Jesus needed to get out, right? But actually, he didn't. You know, do you remember the story of the Easter morning when two disciples were walking towards Emmaus and Jesus walked alongside of them and they were talking about this person called Jesus who was crucified and you know, everybody's talking about him and walking alongside of them. Jesus actually showed them the Old Testament and how he talked about the Messiah, that he had to suffer and die and then enter into his glory. And when they got to Emmaus, they invited him for dinner at their home. And when he and the Bible tells us that when Luke chapter 24 verse 30, it says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them. So it's like he had communion with them. And right at that point, their eyes were open and they recognized him. So all this time, they didn't recognize who he was. And then he says this, he disappeared from their sight. Boom. I love that. He just, boom, disappeared from their sight. He vanished. He didn't need to open the door to get to anywhere. See my point? And then these two disciples go to the other disciples huddling in the upper room with the door locked because they were scared. They didn't want to get arrested and get killed just like Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 24, verse 36 tells us this. It says, while they were still talking about this, their room's locked. While they're still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Boom! Right? They didn't open the door and knock, knock, who's there? None of that stuff. Jesus just appeared and said, "Shalom," probably. "Peace be with you." And then they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. I mean, I would think the same thing. He said to them, "Hey, do you see what I see?" And then Jesus says to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hand and my feet. It is I myself." Jesus has the crucified marks. "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Jesus had flesh and bones. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broil of fish, because he loves fish, by the way. Jesus loves fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Why did he eat the fish, other than the fact that he loved fish? Because fish is really good for you. And fish is the food of Jesus. That's why we have the sign. Anyway, I like fish. Other than that, why did Jesus eat the fish? To demonstrate that he had a physical body. So he had this resurrected body that was pretty awesome, that can go, boom, I'm here, boom, I'm gone. eat, you can touch, you can feel, you can recognize. Boom, you don't recognize me. I don't know. It's a pretty awesome body, but it is a hint as to the kind of resurrection body that we're going to have, kind of world that we're going to enter into. That's the hope of the resurrection. That's part of the hope of the resurrection. But the point I'm trying to make is that they didn't need to open the door. Okay? He just came. And then the question is this. Why did God roll away the stone? Why? Because the women needed the stone to be rolled away. Because the disciples and Peter needed the stone to be rolled away. Because you and I need the stone to be rolled away. Now let's think about that. Let's look at the story from the perspective of the women. And I want to mention to you the fact that the women were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that says something. It says that resurrection couldn't possibly be made up. This account couldn't possibly be made up. Women in their society couldn't even testify in court because their testimony was deemed unreliable because they lived in a patriarchal society. But the testimony here is that they were the first one to see. Now, if they were making up this stuff, they would never do that. They would say it's these credible men, these officials who saw and determined that he was resurrected. No, it was the women. It shows that it is the way it was. Plus, it shows that in a kingdom of God, men and women are equal and one in Christ. At New City Church, we honor women. We have women in leadership. We have women pastors. We believe that God, in the post the age of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we believe that God empowers women as well as men in the church and in the leadership. And I see that here. God honors women to make them the first witnesses of the greatest event in the history of, I don't want to say mankind, but you know what I mean. Now, so going back, these were women who followed Jesus from very early on. They believed that he was the Messiah, the one to come to save us. Jesus healed Mary Magdalene from 7 demons. And she's from a little village in Galilee called Magdala. They've actually recently excavated that. I went to visit it. It's actually amazing. Went to the synagogue there. It was amazing. And you can actually see the place that Jesus would have stepped on to preach in Magdala. But anyway, amazing place. And then we also have Mary, the mother of James and John. And she's the woman who asked Jesus whether James could be on the right side and John could be on the left side when Jesus Christ comes into the kingdom. And then we have Salome. We don't know much about her. So these were women who followed Jesus to the cross. You know, most of the disciples were too scared to get near the cross. Yet they stayed with Jesus. They saw him get tortured. For 6 hours, he was crucified at 9 o'clock. He died around 3 o'clock on the cross. And they saw his life slowly drain away and die. They loved him. But, like everybody else, they forgot about the claim that Jesus had made that he would resurrect in 3 days. They completely forgot about that. They forgot about the fact that Jesus is God who can overcome the impossible, that he is the God of the resurrection. They didn't expect to see an open tomb. Because they forgot about all those things. Yet God rolled away the stone so that they can see the angels and they can see the empty tomb so that they can see that Jesus is God who can overcome the impossible, that he is the God of the resurrection. And he did it not only for them, But God rolled away the stone so that you and I can see that God is the God of the possible and not of the impossible. Maybe you're going through a time in your life right now in which you feel like your life is in an impossible situation. Maybe you're discouraged like these women. Maybe you're hiding in fear like the men. Maybe you're looking at your finances. Maybe you're looking at your relationships. Maybe you're looking at your life and you see hopelessness. Maybe you're seeing life change as impossible. Maybe you're in a vicious cycle of drug use or some sort of substance abuse and you feel like, this is just impossible. You feel like your life is impossible. Maybe you feel like your dreams have died and you're losing your hope. And I want to tell you, and I want to tell you this good news that Jesus has rolled away the stone for you to reveal to you the God who can overcome the impossible in your life. There is nothing impossible with God. Even if you go through the valley of shadow of death, and Jesus went through the valley of death, not just the shadow of death. The women experienced emotional darkness. Men experienced fear and anxiety and darkness. But there is hope. There is hope in our God. God wants to reveal to you today that he is the God of the possible. Not of the impossible. He is the God of the resurrection. He could give you hope. God changed everything by resurrecting Jesus. And he can change everything in your life as well. You see, Jesus went through the cross to redeem you from your sins. And not only your sins, but also your fears, your hopelessness, your darkness. And he wants to bring you to hope, power, the power of the resurrection. If you're here and you can identify with the hopelessness of these women, I want to ask you to open your heart and see that the stone has been rolled away. And see the God who can overcome the impossible in your life. So that's the first thing. He wants to reveal to you the God who can overcome the impossible. Secondly, let's go back and look at the story a little bit more, what the women were experiencing. They thought it was all over, right? They just wanted to honor Jesus because they loved him. They followed him for several years. They wanted to anoint his body with spice according to their tradition. And if you look at their life, their faith was flickering. It was almost dying. Oh, my Lord has died. They're in darkness. Their faith is about to die as well. They'll pay their last respect and then go on their own way. Oh, well, that's where they were. How could it not be? I mean, think about their situation. They saw Jesus die. But God rolled away the stone so that their flickering faith may turn into trembling and astonishment. You see the transformation that just happened? I just want to pay my respect and be done with this. And this is it. I guess this is it. Discouragement. And then to a place of trembling. You know, when the new reality comes upon you, when you see something totally, it's just like, you just like begin to shake. It's not just like, oh, wow, that's an interesting idea. No, it's like you start trembling and there's astonishment. Complete astonishment, so that their faith would be based on the resurrection power, so that their faith would last forever. The passage says that when they saw the stone rolled away and heard from the angel that Jesus had risen, they were trembling, right? And astonished. That's the beginning of a new kind of faith, one that trembles at the truth one that astonishes at the truth. That's the kind of faith that gives you power in your life. Maybe there are some of you here today whose faith is flickering. You've gone through some tough times. Maybe you wonder where God is when you were going through your pain in your life. Maybe you've been disappointed with God. Maybe you've attended church when you were younger, and maybe you were faithful at one point, but your faith has backslid. Maybe you had a bad experience at church. You know, and I want to apologize for that. I know the church is a messy place, but while I believe that the church is so important, it is the bride of Christ, it is not Jesus. We are far from perfect. One of the things we say at New City all the time, as I said at the beginning, is we're all more messed up than we think we are. But God loves us more than we can ever imagine through Jesus Christ. We are a community of messed up people living in God's amazing grace. That's who we are. So that necessarily means that sometimes we mess up. And so we can actually hurt people. And I apologize for that. We're trying to be a church that better reflects the inclusive and gracious ways of Jesus, but we're far from achieving that. But the point is, whatever it may have been in your life, maybe, you know, getting hurt by a church somewhere, your faith is flickering. But I want you to know that God has rolled away the stone. The flickering faith of the women changed to passion and trembling for Jesus. It wasn't just turning a new leaf in their life. They didn't say one day, you know what? I'm kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different. That's not what changed them. It wasn't making a decision to be a better person. It wasn't making a decision for the good. It was the experience of the power of God. It was knowing that God is not dead. It's knowing that he is bigger than they can imagine. It's knowing that even the cross can't keep him down. This changed everything for them. This caused the trembling. This caused the astonishment. God can take your flickering faith and turn it into a glorious and passionate fire through the power of the resurrection. And that's what God wants to do today. And that's why he rolled away the stone for you. I want to tell you the story of Joe Hernandez. Joe, just raise your hand. He gave me permission to share this, but he's probably a little nervous right now. You know, he got to know a little bit about Jesus when he was young through a church that a neighbor was Carmelita. Everybody, you all know Carmelita. We should pray for her. Her granddaughter has gone through surgery this weekend. But anyway, Carmelita's husband pastored in Highland Park. But that faith, that flickering of one, just flickered away. He joined a gang and led a harsh life. He ended up homeless, addicted to drugs. He was in a dark place. He was filled with guilt, and his heart had become callous in his life. And he said he wanted to die. His faith was about to be snuffed away. And out of desperation, he went to the Union Rescue Mission in Skid Row and joined the program there, and, you know, and ended up at New City Church at the invitation of Carmelita. So they connected back because Carmelita brought the volunteers at Union Rescue Mission. And he experienced God's grace, God's love, and God's resurrection power. Hallelujah, brother. Resurrection power in his life. He came to realize that God died for him to pay the price that he couldn't possibly pay. And he came to receive this beautiful forgiveness that comes through Christ. And you know what? Every time I talk to him, Joe just can't get over this grace. He just can't get over this undeserved love of God that he lives in. And this grace rules his life right now. And that's the power of the resurrection. He's a changed man. He is a gentle and humble man. He says, you know, Pastor, you wouldn't say that about me if you knew me so-and-so time ago. I go, I can't imagine you any other way. Because he is a gentle and humble man. And God's not done with him yet. Amen. I see passion. I see passion and trembling and astonishment that has lit up in his life. The faith that was flickering has come alive. He is a passionate and humble follower of Jesus. It didn't happen because he decided to turn over a new leaf. It didn't happen because he tried really hard to be a better person. It happened by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the resurrection in his life. Is your faith flickering? Maybe you're just here visiting with a flickering of a faith. Well, let the rolled away stone tremble you, astonish you to a burning passion for Jesus, and that could change everything in your life. It does. I want to give you one last reason why God rolled away the stone. Let's look at this story from the perspective of one of the men. The passage today says that the angel told the women to tell the disciples, and then did you notice, and Peter? Well, Peter is one of the disciples, but it emphasizes, and Peter, that Jesus is risen. Why Peter? Why did he single out Peter? Now, I like Peter. He's a guy who saw Jesus walking in the water, and he says, Jesus, I want to walk in the water too. Call me into the water. And Jesus says, come out of the boat, walk. And he walked a few steps, and then, of course, he looked at where he was doing and got all scared, and he started to drown, and Jesus rescued him. But the guy walked on water for a few steps. Other than Jesus, I don't know anybody else who did that. So Peter is a pretty significant guy. He followed Jesus around. All of the ministries that he did, he saw Jesus perform miracles after miracles. He was the one who first confessed to Jesus when Jesus said, who do people say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter knew who Jesus was, not fully, but he knew who Jesus was. But he's also the person who said at the Last Supper, the Thursday, the Last Supper, when Jesus said, you know what, all of you are going to run away. All of you are going to deny me. And Peter says, wow, all of them, not me. I'm gonna die with you. I'm going to go to the cross. I'll be there no matter what. That's what Peter said. And then, of course, Jesus said, you know what, you are going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times. But remember me when the cock crows. And Jesus was right. Jesus was arrested. He actually tried to fight that off. But Jesus said no. And then he ran away. But he started to follow Jesus from far away in the distance. And ended up at the courtyard of the high priest's house. And when a servant said, I saw you with Jesus, and he cursed Jesus and said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. He said it three times. And then on the third time, the cock crowed, and it reminded him of what Jesus said. And the scripture actually says his eyes and Jesus' eyes met. And then he just broke down and bitterly cried. That's the last scene of Peter that we know of before now. The angel says, tell Peter. He is risen. How do you think that Peter, what do you think Peter was feeling? I think Peter was just disappointed with himself. You know? He thought he was all that. He thought he could follow. You know, he thought he could do the things that he thought he could do. But when that time came, he cowered. He cursed. He denied. He just, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and go, well, I can't believe it. Well, don't you feel like Peter, from time to time? We want to follow Jesus with all of our might. We do. A lot of us do. You know, it's not that we don't follow Jesus because we don't want to. Some of us don't want to. Some of us, that's the reason. Some of us just flickering away faith, backsliding has taken us too far. But for some of us, we do, but we fail. We relapse. Didn't want to yell at the kids, but ended up yelling at the kids. You wanted to be faithful, and you thought you can be faithful, but you failed. You're disappointed in yourself. You're like Peter. I want to tell you the good news that God wants you. God calls out to you. Tell Peter. Tell you. You feel that way? God singles you out and says, I want you to know today that I have rolled away the stone. I am the resurrected God. I am here to embrace you again, love you again. God wants to restore you. God is after you because he loves you. His love is not dependent on what you do and what you have failed to do. His love is unconditional because he loves you. He died for you. That's what he's coming from. His grace is unconditional. Grace is this undeserved love that we get. It's unconditional. He died for you because you are not all that you thought you were. If you were, he didn't need to die for you. And I want to close up by just asking you to meditate on these three areas. Have you lost sight of the God who can overcome the impossible? Is your faith flickering away? Are you disappointed in yourself? Jesus is here. He is alive. Amen. It's not just he's alive 2,000 years. He is alive today. And he is with us by his Spirit. Though he has given us the Holy Spirit. And he will come back. God has rolled away the stone for you so we can live a resurrection life. You know, there is a future. There is hope. You can find joy even in midst of hardship. God wants you to recover the power of the resurrection in your life. God wants to fill you with his living presence. Following Jesus is not just a routine. It is a passion. God wants to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. He wants to anoint you. He wants to give you life beyond what you and I can imagine. And that life is not just about you. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not just about the resurrection of our body and eternal life for ourselves. It's about the renewal of all things. We haven't gotten into all that, but the resurrection is much beyond us. It's about the heaven and the earth coming together. It's about being a part of something way bigger than our personal success. Even our families, even our health is way bigger than us. It is the hope of the kingdom of God that will come, that has come, and will come in its fullness forever. This is the hope of the resurrection. This is the power of the resurrection. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, O Lord, for the power of the resurrection. Lord, we want to celebrate, for you are good. Lord, when we were overcome with the impossible, when we were disappointed in ourselves, when our faith was just flickering away, you came and rolled away the stone and showed us something way bigger than ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us to tremble and be astonished and live a life of passion because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us. Let our faith not be dependent on our willpower to do good. Let our faith be dependent on the power of the resurrection, O Lord, and the new reality that you have set forth. O Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fill us with your spirit, O Lord. Fill us with your presence, for you are alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.